In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the last few weeks, I was watching a very familiar movie, one I had seen many times, and it dawned on me as I was watching it that there were times when I was kind of speaking the dialogue under my breath before the actors even got a chance to get there, because the movie was just so very familiar. It was not one of my favorite movies, but it was actually one of the family favorites growing up, and I had seen it a lot of times. And it got me to realizing that most people likely would not enjoy watching my very favorite movies with me, because I kind of have that habit of coming out with my favorite lines before the actors have a chance to say them. And I'm sure that would be very annoying, as the whole movie would be about, hey, the next thing is going to be really cool, and wait till you hear that joke, or whatever it might be. I still enjoy watching them, though. And as I did that kind of inventory of my life, I wondered, say, the movie I have watched the most, how many times have I actually seen it? Probably a couple hundred, maybe, in my lifetime? What about you? Do you have things you treasure that you enjoy to the point of anticipation while you're experiencing it? You know, a movie would be a good example, but other things. A favorite song that comes on the radio. A book that you read over and over. Or maybe it's even family experiences, stories told by real life history, that when grandpa or grandma have shared them, you've come to the realization that you will enjoy being the keeper of the stories for the family, because you enjoy telling it just as much as them. And maybe you've even annoyed either grandma or grandpa by jumping in and stealing part of the story just as they were about to have it dramatically unfold for whoever was listening. There are things that we hear over and over again that we don't mind hearing at all. But there is also that experience in life of exploring, diving deep, and learning new and treasured things that we never knew before, and recognizing immediately as we hear them how valuable, important that will become in our lives. Jesus finishes our gospel lesson by saying, "Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storehouse new treasures as well as old." It's an interesting perspective, isn't it? If you think about how many times you have sat in a pew in a church, how many years you've heard the unfolding of the three lessons and the psalm of the day and the verse of the day for you to hear and to contemplate, there are realizing all kinds of treasures that you're very familiar with. And there likely are those moments when they're being spoken from an ambo in front of worship, or a lectern in a Bible study, or something you've pursued yourself in meditation. That when you hear that passage and it connects to some experience of your life that you treasure especially, you say, yeah, there's an old favorite. But you've also known, you've also grown to appreciate the realization of the need for your life, your expanding and changing life every day, the reality that Jesus speaks here. New treasures, new perspective, new understanding, new encouragement, new faith even. How important it is that we follow Jesus' directive. But he sets up that verse encouraging us to fill the storehouses of our hearts, our souls, our minds with treasures both new and old, with a couple of parables. Remember, parables are teaching stories that if we get too caught up in the specific details, we might get sidetracked. But Jesus starts each of these parables with the same words: the kingdom of heaven is like. In order to understand what Jesus is saying, he's not talking about heaven off in the distance, some place that we will be with him forever, free from pain and the guilt of our sin and so on. He's using that term here the way he did throughout the Gospels when he would tell people the kingdom of heaven is near. In essence, he's saying the proclamation of the gospel is happening, and those who are believing it are knowing heaven immediately through its promise and its reality in the person of Jesus Christ. His living and His dying and His rising was going to guarantee all of that. And that plan of God was being proclaimed throughout the world from Jesus' own mouth. And He was also sending His disciples out to share those words, that gospel message. And so He says things like, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Now, He's talking about real life, the way things really happen. He's not asking us to do a moral character evaluation of this man, that he didn't go back to the landowner and tell him what he had found, but rather, he simply understood. This land is for sale. I'm a buyer. I want to explore what this land has to offer. And I know what I've found. And so I'm going back to make a bid. But on my way to make that bid, I'm going to liquidate every last thing I own if it stands in the way of my getting that field for this purpose, because I understand just how valuable it is and how life-changing my owning it will be. The point Jesus is making is that you and I ask ourselves, is that the kind of attitude I have toward God's word? Is that the kind of attitude I have towards God's promises in Christ? His forgiveness, His unconditional commitment, His freedom from guilt that He offers me, and the promise of eternity with Him, not on the basis of anything that I do, but on the gift of Jesus' righteousness that makes me approved to live with God forever. And He follows. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. In my mind, I see a grizzled old veteran of a merchant who knew his craft well, who had spent his life studying gems, trading and selling and searching, trying to find just the one that its possession would create a legacy for his family, that owning that, having it as a resource, would change their lives maybe for generations. And when he finds it, again, clears out of his life, clears off of his books any and every other thing that might be treasured, recognizing nothing's going to stop him, nothing's going to slow him down, nothing's going to deter him from possessing that precious pearl. Again, it begs the question, is this the attitude? Is this the intention? Is this the perspective we have regarding God's promises to us in the contrast of what the world is offering us to treasure that will fade away and fail over and over again? He goes on. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How well do you understand the net of the gospel, the net of God's word, when it's cast out to gather in those who are willing to listen to God's promises and God's word? There's a beautiful example surrounding you today. When you start thinking about the history of this congregation in this place, from the day in 1951, when over at the VFW hall, the pastor from Peace in Wilmot, first in the name of Faith Congregation, proclaimed the gospel to this day, how many tens of thousands of people have heard the word as a result of this congregation being here? Worship services, weddings, funerals, all kinds of events, all kinds of situations. And then, because of the last 20 years of technology, you can add to it when we were streaming services or the material available through our website for podcasts and others, the sermon content, the proclamation of the word. How many tens of thousands of people have been gathered by that net to hear what God has to say to the human ear and the human heart? Amazing promises, eternal promises, eternity-changing promises. Now multiply that by every other gathering of believers over two millennia throughout the world where the word has been proclaimed, and realize what a net has been cast over the world. But check out what Jesus says here. Not everybody that is gathered by that net of the word comes to know and believe in Jesus as their Savior. Some remain bad fish. The reality is, not every person that sat in one of these chairs or pews, not every single person that has heard the word proclaimed from this ambo or some lectern in the building has been led to saving faith in Jesus Christ and lived the life of a believer. Some have even become members and have never actually completely surrendered themselves to the work of the Holy Spirit in a way that has led them to truly live what Jesus is speaking of in these verses. You and I don't know who that is. It's not like we have on our task list for the next week, point number three, find out who the real believers are at faith. No, that's for the Holy Spirit, for God and His angels to be concerned about. Notice how that sifting, that separating here in these verses is not directed for us to be doing. But what Jesus' point is to recognize how important it is to cast the net, to be sharers of God's word, to be proclaimers of God's forgiveness and salvation and eternal life as we have come to know it in the word. And then he follows up with that statement about those who have been instructed about the kingdom of heaven. Every teacher of the law, recognize he's using kind of Old Testament terminology there. The way they would use the word law to be the entire word of God as it had been accumulated to that point in history. And so you and I could easily think of it only as pastors and teachers and those who have invested themselves by the Holy Spirit's leading in sharing the word with others, and how important it is for them to know the word to be able to share their treasures, new and old, when they have opportunity in teaching or preaching. But it goes well beyond that. The New Testament clearly makes the case that every believer can be, is called to be, invited and privileged and given opportunity to be those who teach, those who share treasures new and old. And so do you value your time spent here and in your other pursuits of knowledge in Scripture? Do you have those moments where you turn to that hymn or you turn to that reference and you read that verse and you smile and your heart is warm by the reality is this is a treasured old friend, and who knows what memory that connects to? And do you seek those opportunities to dive deep in the Word and to learn things you've never known before because you realize how much you need to deepen your faith and your understanding of God's promises so that you're ready for your faith and your perspective to match the challenges of your day-to-day life as you walk this journey to eternal life with Jesus? Jesus is encouraging us here to recognize we have a choice to make on a daily basis. That storehouse of heart or mind or soul, however you want to define it, can be filled with the treasures of His Word. And it's not a complicated, difficult thing. And yet there are days, in my personal experience, certainly in ministry experience as well, where I have just ached for people who have spent so much time in worship and in pursuit of Christian knowledge, who have an episode in life that shakes them to the core of their being, and they turn and find the cupboard empty. Nothing in the storehouse in that moment to assure them of forgiveness, to give them perspective and hope that God has a plan and will answer their prayers in a way that will be beyond their imagining. And they turn to me or some other fellow believer in desperation, wanting to hear of these treasures, new and old, and thankfully they're shared. But I've also seen the opposite. I praise the Lord for the opposite as well. How often in circumstances, many of you have played a role in encouraging others, and including me, with the treasure stored away in your heart. Remember how David spoke of it in the Psalms? He actually offered a prayer asking God to allow him to hide his word away in his heart so that it would be there available to him when there wasn't a physical copy of the scriptures right there at the ready. That's an attitude believers have toward the treasured word of God because they know what it means. And here Jesus encourages us to recognize that we need to be that for each other as we also make it an effort for our own growth and our own understanding and our own future needs in moments of spiritual challenge. But think that through. The disciples, when Jesus asked them, "Do you understand all these things?" they answered yes. And they weren't just saying that. They had seen it. Jesus had empowered them, authorized them to go out two by two and proclaim this same gospel message with power, miraculous power. They were able to cast out demons. They were able to actually heal through the powerful word of Jesus. But most importantly, they were proclaiming forgiveness in the kingdom of God through this Messiah who had come, God in human flesh. They knew the plan, and they saw not only the power as it worked in other people's lives, but so many of them had themselves been changed by God's word of promise. Some of them had new names as disciples because Jesus had called them out of an old way of life that was catastrophic in regard to eternity. And now, because they believed and trusted in his saving promise, they had a whole new identity. But they also had a front row seat. They had a front row seat to watch and listen as Jesus proclaimed his word and offered his miracles and changed lives and hearts and eternities through this word that he could himself define as treasures new and old. For while he was involved in its writing all the way back thousands of years, we're told he also spent time in synagogue school at the feet of the elders learning this word as he was now proclaiming it anew. This was his reality. This was the disciples' reality. And Jesus invites it to us to make it our reality so that day by day, circumstance by circumstance, whether it's you and I that need the promise and the clarity and the guidance of God's word for our forgiveness, for our certainty, for the release of guilt, for the living for God that we desire and thanks, or whether it's you and I having the opportunity to draw these treasures out of our own storehouse, we'll have blessed, treasured things to share. Things that we've enjoyed hearing ourselves and built our lives on throughout our lives. New things, wonderful things that are beyond our imagination, that in the telling of them to us, we recognize their value. And in that recognizing, pray that the Holy Spirit will lead us to tuck them away where Jesus wants to keep them. His advice is simple. His call is profound. Recognize. You and I have an opportunity every day to fill our storehouses with Jesus' eternal treasures. The old and familiar, the brand new as well. Amen. Please stand. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.